Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Television stole drama from radio. In the podcast era, audio drama is scratching to come back from the dead. Back in the day, Americans flocked and squirmed to radio mysteries and horror. No visuals required. Now, just in time for Halloween, comes the digital era update. The cannibal infant, the plastic surgeon on a tear. This hour On Point Radio Horror returns in Tales from Beyond the Pale. We'll hear in a moment from acclaimed actor Ron Perlman of Hellboy and much more, who's gone spooky audio lately. But first, joining us from New York are the co-producers of the new audio horror drama collection, Tales from Beyond the Pale, Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid of the horror film production company Glass Eye Picks. They are horror film veterans of The Last Winter, No Telling, House of the Devil, and Satan Hates You. Now they're going audio in the style of old-time radio made new. Larry Fessenden, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. This is great fun to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. And Glenn McQuaid, thank you so much for being there.
Hey, Tom. Thanks a lot.
So tell us, what are you up to? You're pulling this back. We're taking this way back to the 1930s or something here. But in the podcast days, what pulled you filmmakers into audio-only creation here, Larry?
Well, it's a lot cheaper when you don't rent the camera, quite honestly. Glenn and I were driving upstate one day, and we were listening to some old radio plays because I have a kid, and I'd been introducing him to a lot of the old Boris Karloff and Orson Welles recordings, and we were having a laugh, Glenn and I, and Glenn said, we should do Glass Eye should have a radio show. Well, the way things work at Glass Eye is no idea is too small or too preposterous to pursue, so we started putting it together.
Now, you say a radio show, but these days, Glenn, a radio show doesn't necessarily mean airwaves, doesn't exactly even mean radio. This is really a podcast and CD collection you're putting together. Yeah, it's digital, but it's not exactly like the old straight from the tower to your ear.
Yeah, it's true what Larry is saying there. I think the two things, the ideas that we sunk into it were really, you know, just it being small and preposterous. And it took us a while to even realize actually what we're doing, you know, was going to be considered podcasts as opposed to, you know, old time radio. But that's definitely the world that we're mining. You know, we're both fans of Inner Sanctum and certainly anthology fare of every medium. So it was really an idea to get some really great stories out to audiences and have storytellers get their work out too.
Larry, I'm not sure that podcast generation Americans completely understand just how gigantic radio was in the sort of golden days of radio drama, how much there was, how much Americans listened, how absolutely riveted they would be to that radio and the stories, many of the mysteries and scary stories pouring out of all those American radios.
Well, it's really true. And it's funny, I grew up in the 70s, and I still enjoyed listening to radios. I don't know what stations I'd found, but there were lots of great old-time radio shows that were being rehashed even in the 70s. So I'm maybe the last generation. But, you know, quite honestly, one of the reasons we could justify the whole project is that there is everybody you see on the subway has a earbud on, and I think audiobooks are extremely popular. I know I enjoy them. And so we thought there really was some justification for this project. But quite honestly, we also run sort of a ragtag community at Glass Eye Picks, and we knew so many filmmakers who had ideas, pitches for movies, and would just love the opportunity to get into production. So it was twofold. One, because we thought there'd be some audience, and two, because we just wanted to roll up our sleeves and get into production.
Pour it straight into our ears. We heard the music at the top of the hour. It was from The Black Cat, the old Peter Lorre radio drama. Let's hear just a little bit old school, and we'll hear some of what you are putting together in Tales from Beyond the Pale. This is from originally from 1947, Peter Lorre in The Black Cat. It's an adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe poem. Lorre is Charles, driven crazy by his family cat, ends up killing his wife in a misdirected attempt to murder the cat.
Look out!
What? Oh, that's cat. That's a beast again. It's always under my feet. It tried to trip me on the stairs.
Oh, no, I'm sure it didn't.
I'll get rid of that beast once and for all. I'll get...
Charles! Put down that crowbar!
Get out of my way.
No, no, stop!
I say get out of my way. Let go of my arm.
Please, Charles, you're
let go
what
of my
doing.
Arm! Are you going to let go?
Oh, please!
Put down that crowbar. Of course, when it comes down, it's going to be bloody. That's 1947. Let's flash forward to, and you can settle back here and get a little taste of a big new collection of horror tales. This is 2011 work. This is from the Tales from Beyond the Pale. This is from the story, 10 stories here. This is from The Demon Huntsman. It's by painter, animator, and horror director Ashley Thorpe. In this scene, set in Victorian England, two footmen are sent by their master, Master Capel, into the rainy, fog, and haunted moors of Devon, England, to bring back a stag that has caught his fancy.
Come on, look at him! Posing against the moon like a bloody king on a coin! Shoot him! Ha ha ha! You got him!
Oh, I got him all right, but he's bolting. Come on.
This way.
We're never going to track the blood in this fog.
He's wounded. We'll run him down.
What was that?
Well, it weren't no bleeding stag.
Sod this. We should head back.
Capel will have our bloody hides.
This fog's getting thicker. Mother Mary. You know what's happening, don't you?
What?
We've been pixie-led.
I beg your pardon?
Pixie-led. That's what happens in these parts. Pixies, you know? They bewitch you, lead you into the fog, then leave you to get lost or worse. But I'm a bloody fool. Here, hold my rifle.
What are you doing?
I'm pulling my pockets out. Keep the bastards away. Forewarned is forearmed, my friend. And I urge you to do the same. The fog will break in no time.
Great. I'm lost on the moor with an idiot.
Fine. When I return home, alone, I'll explain it all to your wife.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll hold on to the rifles, and you can protect us with your empty pockets. Did you hear that?
Oh, I heard that.
It's dogs! It's the blood! They've been drawn by the blood!
I say we head back.
Back where?
Anywhere, just not here. We follow the blood back towards Slough Bridge and the road. To hell with Capel. Come on.
Barney! Barney!
Oh, my leg. Oh, God. Oh, I think it's broken.
Just wait there. I'll try and find a way down. Oh, we're on the Dewiston. God, he's halfway down the gorge. It's so steep. Barney, just hold still. They can smell your fear, you know.
Yeah, they'll be smelling more than that if I don't get me out of here. Jesus Christ.
Barney, keep still. You'll alert them. I hear a rider. Just hold on. Just still. Sir, I beg your assistance. My friend, he's fallen from the rock and lies within the gorge. Sir? Sir, I beg you, hold!
Ah! Oh, God. Oh, God. It's the huntsman. So I walk in the shadow of the valley of death. I will fear no evil. My rod and staff. We'll come.
Oh, and
there we are, Slurpy, walking in the moors in horse hooves and screams the demon huntsman from Ashley Thorpe. Producers Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid are with us. It's from the new collection, Tales from Beyond the Pale. You get a feeling for it right there. Let's hear from our listeners. They've got a lot of experience. Dean in Aiken, South Carolina. Dean, what do you think? You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I've always grown up, I've always had TV. So, and I couldn't understand how my dad could listen to hockey games on the radio. But when I was in college, yeah. I would be at night, and they would have it on the radio. I was in Chicago, and yeah. they would have it on the radio. It would scare the bejesus out of me because my mind could play all these tricks on what was going on. And so I think the radio is really powerful.
Are you ready for that to come back? Would you sit down and listen again? No picture involved, Dean?
You know, it's kind of like you're driving by the accident. You got to look. So, yeah, I'm ready for it to come back, but, you know, I feel it right now in my stomach. It's like,
I love it. I love it. Dean, thank you. Jesse in Westminster, Vermont. Jesse, you're on. What do you know?
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Sorry about the line. I'm calling from my computer. Yeah, when I was a kid growing up in the 80s, in southern Vermont here, I could actually pick up an AM station. We didn't have a TV either, so I was always listening to the radio, and I could pick up WCAU AM out of Philadelphia.
What do they play?
And they had a radio classics show every night. It was at 8 or 9 o'clock, so it would have all of the old specials: Inner Sanctum, Dragnet, Sherlock Holmes, Blondie. So I'm just up into my little AM radio, tuning that in at night. I even ended up finding. There was a place where I could order the cassettes. I had a shoebox full of these cassettes.
Did your imagination go wild on those old dramas?
Well, I mean, as a kid without a television, I was tuned into radio anyway, so it was, you know, a natural fit for me, and I loved it.
Jesse, I appreciate your call. Inner Sanctum, The Green Hornet. We're talking Tales from Beyond the Pale today with Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid. When we come back, Ron Perlman is with us. A radio horror revival's going on. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a radio horror revival, radio drama back in the age of podcast, just to get a taste of the old school about 75 years ago now. October 30th, 1938, Mercury Theater, Orson Welles created one of the most memorable radio moments in history when he put War of the Worlds in the airwaves as a holiday special. Here, listeners heard the dramatic and, at the time, realistic end of mankind in the face of alien invasion. Welles, Orson Welles speaking here.
Now they're lifting their metal hands. This is the end now. Smoke comes out, black smoke drifting over the city. People in the streets see it now. They're running toward the East River, thousands of them, dropping in like rats.
Dropping like rats. This is the end now. That was 1938. Fast forward, 2011. Here's a tale, new one. This Oracle Moon. We've got a rescue team of astronauts dispatched to a distant moon in hopes of reclaiming survivors from an ill-fated exploratory mission sent 6 years prior, starring Ron Perlman. We'll hear from him in just a moment. Together, and Doug Jones, together for the first time since Hellboy, they battle moon creatures. Here you hear Perlman as Captain Marsh as the third voice.
They're here!
Who?
The NAM! They ate the colonists, and now they're coming for us.
Southwell was out of his mind. Probably hallucinating.
It's so weak.
What do they want from us?
You heard them. We're dinner.
They're opening the hatch.
We need weapons.
We need weapons, says Ron Perlman. Film and television actor, plays Captain Marsh in This Oracle Moon, played the title role in Hellboy, currently the narrator of the television series 1,000 Ways to Die on Spike TV, stars in Sons of Anarchy, along with Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid. He joins us right now from New York. Ron Perlman, thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure. How are you, Tom?
I'm fine. Ron, they ate the colonists, and now they're coming for us.
Yeah, I know. A high watermark.
Yeah, it's high. What about when the camera's off and it's all audio? As an actor, can you be as engaged when it's just your voice? Or more?
Obviously not, from the sounds of it. obviously not. it seems to be the great pleasure of my life, just finding different ways of being involved in storytelling. And once I fell in with these reprobates here, Larry and Glenn, there was no telling how that was going to manifest itself. This is just the latest incarnation. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think so. Are you surprised to see audio come back? I mean, everybody's got their earbuds in now. Maybe it's inevitable, Ron.
I think it's just great. I think, you know, it's anything that that requires the audience to participate, to supply a great deal more than they're asked to supply by watching things, is a wonderful exercise. I'm old enough to remember when radio was still a vital part of our everyday culture. And I remember hearing stories from my dad about him listening to The War of the Worlds and thinking that it was a news program. He didn't realize it was actually a dramatization, and that there were people who were literally getting in their cars and evacuating New York because they thought they were under siege.
There was something so completely engaging about it, Ron. But I wonder, you know, I mean, radio was so huge for so long. People were really deeply schooled in it. Do we still know how to do it like they did it, old school?
Well, it's just a question of, taking a muscle that, you know, hasn't been flexed for a while and working it for a while, and then all of a sudden things come back. I mean, it's not that hard. It's just hasn't been in vogue and hasn't been in use. But it'd be lovely to see kind of a return to when things were left more to the imagination than they are in today's culture.
Also, Tom, I think that this is Larry. I feel that when you played the Peter Lorre was so awesome because we love that voice.
Of course.
And but it's a bit nostalgic. What I think Glenn and I have done is we've really updated these with very lush sound effects, and you know, we've sort of taken it into the next century, as it were. These are very modern tales, and some of them we played. It was wonderful to hear so much of the Demon Huntsman, but there's the thing that's nice about the series is there's so many variations. Some of them are quite modern and intimate and current day, and it's just fun. You can go anywhere. As you say, we're on the Oracle Moon right now, and there's other tales that are on the Long Island Railroad with two psychopaths. So it's just, you can go anywhere. It's great fun, and we feel these are quite contemporary.
Take us on across that range of stories that you've got here. What else? You've got Long Island Railroad with the psychopaths there. That's scary. We've been up on the moon. we've been out on the moors. Where else do you go? You've got 10 here.
Well, we've got Johnny Boy. That's about a young couple that has a newborn baby, and there's just things a little bit scary coming over the baby monitor.
Yeah.
And then Is This Sea Taken? That's by Sarah Langan, and that's the one on the Long Island Railroad. There's The Grandfather, which is with Angus Scrimm, who I hope will join us today.
Yes.
That's a wonderful sort of internal monologue. He's an old elderly gentleman who's misunderstanding when his family comes to visit what they're telling him, and it's quite subjective. British and Proud takes us all the way to Africa. That's a terrifying tale. The Confirmation by Paul Solid is a story about plastic surgery and the pursuit of perfection, and that's really scary. That takes us under the knife.
Yeah.
And then, and on and on. The Hole Digger, my own piece, is about two kids growing up in Cape Cod, and so that takes us onto the beach. And then Glenn's piece called Trawler is literally on the briny blue fighting a sea creature in a fishing vessel. So you see, it's just a lovely array of stories.
Here's a little bit from The Trawler. Two young fishermen on a trawler gradually realizing that their captain is searching for something a little more weird than a fish.
Stories of folks pulling up giants in the nets lately. Up from the Hadal zone they rise, looking for food. Mutated. Vicious. priceless.
And we're hoping to catch one?
Worth a fortune, they are. Scientists don't know what they are. Pay good money for them. No one's ever managed to get one back to land, you see.
We're trawling for these things?
Fishing ain't what it used to be.
From the trawler, from Tales from Beyond the Pale. Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid are with us. Producers Ron Perlman, the actor who's in the middle of it as well. Gina's calling right now from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Gina, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Big fan of your show.
Great.
I'm in my 20s, and I do a lot of artwork, so I've always preferred to listen to things while I work.
Mm-hmm.
I used to borrow tapes of the old radio shows from my grandmother when I was younger. So now with this podcast boom, I'm really excited to hear that these radio shows are coming back. I've been waiting for it for years, and I didn't know they existed, so I can't wait to listen to them.
How about that Ron Perlman voice right in the middle of it, Gina?
That's even better. Mr. Perlman, you're great. Hellboy couldn't have existed without you, and this seems you seem perfectly suited for it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very nice.
That's terrific. Gina, we hope you get it.
We're really happy that we can help, make your work, as a jumping off point.
Move that art. Gina, thanks.
Yeah.
Patrick, Saranac Lake, New York. Patrick, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I used to have a clock radio in my bedroom, and I discovered WRVO out of Syracuse would play the old-time radio shows. And my parents couldn't figure out why I was waking up late every morning, couldn't wake up because I was... They'd scare the bejesus out of me listening to The Shadow and all those scary shows, and they finally had to take the clock radio away from me.
how about changing the channel?
No, I would stay up until almost midnight listening to them, and then 2-3 in the morning, just terrified.
What was it? I compare it if you can, Patrick, to a video or a movie, scary video game. Ron Perlman's done plenty of those. What about
the
audio?
Theater of the mind. You know, it's your mind's going to take you places that the constraints of a video can never help. You know, that the mind is just infinite where it can take you.
And it does. Lots of people listening, lots of people remembering. Here's Phyllis on Facebook says, it's so exciting. I was a great fan of radio mysteries as a child. Still dig into them on the net. Love Sherlock Holmes and Agatha Christie, The Shadow, The Weird Circle, Sam Spade, Johnny Dollar, The Fat Man, The Thin Man. Guess you went on a diet. Those were the days, she says. And, I mean, they truly were. People were ready just at a moment's notice. I mean, Larry, do you think that you can... Does your audience have the same ready capacity to imagine that an audience back in the day that was accustomed to radio drama had?
Well, clearly we're more sophisticated and bombarded by, imagery, you see. And so I think this is sometimes taking an alternative route opens the mind again. And I think people – I love the caller who spoke about doing her artwork because I do think – in this busy world, you know, you can actually shuffle about the house and do whatever you need to do, and you can listen and be engaged by the radio. I mean, that's why we're all listening to NPR here. So I think that there's a tremendous capacity, and of course, the best way to listen to these is with headphones with the lights out, or maybe a nice pumpkin candle affair going on. But I think people are ready for this sort of thing. Anyway, that's our hope, and I know that we just love taking people to these unexpected places.
Let's take it back again. 1943, early radio program Suspense. Orson Welles again here, guest starring as mad scientist Dr. Robert Graham, who slowly drives his wife Isabel insane when he prevents her from returning to her life as a classical pianist. Things come to a head when Robert's deranged patient Roger Holcomb shares a dark secret plan that will keep Isabel out of the limelight.
Roger. No, Robert, you're very certain that Isabel will be prevented from ever playing again by death.
Death?
Oh, Isabel, forgive me, please.
By death? No. Oh, no. Please, Roger, it's not true. Tell me it isn't. Roger, answer me. Roger, do you hear me? Answer me. Answer me!
Wow. She lays it down right there in suspense. Ron Perlman, you know, sophistication is an interesting idea here. We're certainly very sophisticated visually now. We're very sophisticated with interactive games and getting more so all the time. What about the theater of the mind? Do you think we're as sophisticated as our, forebears there at producing that when we're prompted?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that whether the direction of things, so much being shown, you know, and the technology all leaning towards showing us even more than we've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether that's doing our minds and our imaginations a favor. You know, I really do. I love listening to these guys who, you know, their parents think they were doing them a favor by taking the clock radio away when, in fact, that thing was maybe going to form his entire aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, those things that he was obsessed with, that he'd found on his own and that he, you know, really gravitated toward, that were lighting a fire under his imagination and causing all this stirring within him. Most of which, and it was all radio stuff. So that right there is an example of the story does half the work, and your mind does the other half. Whereas if you're watching, you know, a Transformers movie, there's no work necessary on the part of the audience because it's all right there in front of you, and it's almost anesthetizing, you know, where our culture has gone, as opposed to inspiring and you know, using as something that makes you want to augment and elaborate on what you've already seen, which is why I got into, you know, wanting to be a storyteller, is because these stories just lit a fire under me, and so I said, "Wow, what a cool way to go through life is doing that to people."
Totally so cool. You look at those old photographs of people listening to the radio, and their faces are so rapt. It's all in the mind. Eyes open or closed. New York, Plattsburgh, New York, Kathy's calling. Kathy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I believe your name is Tom, and to your guests.
Yes.
Another excellent one was Vincent Price.
Sure.
And I believe that this is wonderful. If this could start out over again with the radio shows, I believe it would give the youngsters a chance to use their mind and imagination and let it wander, which is a lot better than sitting in front of a television or a computer. Everybody has their own interpretation of what's happening. It really keeps you on the edge of your seat. And, you know, if they could bring this back, I think it would be awesome.
Kathy, my screen here says that you bring us...
I just, you know, I wish I knew, being blind, how I could, you know, come about a lot of these old radio shows, because I'd rather, even when I could see, I'd rather listen to something than actually sit there in front of a video.
Blind. You're blind, Kathy. Can you watch a movie and on the soundtrack enjoy it, or is radio drama way better for you?
No. When I sit, I used to be able to see. I've been blind for 10 years, and there's nothing like radio drama. I can listen to a video, and it just does nothing for me, you know. But to actually listen to it on the radio, you get more of a feeling of what's actually happening than a video.
You need the actors and producers who are totally honed in on creating that image for you via the sound. It's great to have your call, Kathy. Thank you so much for calling in with that. Hey,
and I just wanted to say, Kathy, this is Glenn here. If Kathy's still there, we'd love to get you a box set out to you if we can get your details.
Kathy, if we've still got you on the phone, we'll try and grab that and get it to Glenn McQuaid and Larry Fessenden with Tales from Beyond the Pale. Ron Perlman, it's so great to have you with us. Please stick with us there in New York. A little music here from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Boris Karloff, no less, back in the day. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Horseman,
but I'm not scared, you see, because the headless horseman was really only me
who carried off Ichabod Crane. It wasn't ghosts, oh no.
It was really only me. It was really only me. It was really only me.
I'm
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about a radio horror revival, radio drama, back in the age of podcasts. We're talking with the producers of the new series collection, Tales from Beyond the Pale. Ready for your earbuds now, just in time for Halloween. Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid are with us. They've put it together. Ron Perlman of Hellboy and so much more is one of the many actors now involved in audio drama. One of the 10 stories is in Tales from Beyond the Pale is The Confirmation. This is a plastic surgeon obsessed with creating the perfect form for a patient obsessed with becoming it. In this scene, the surgeon, Dr. Freely, and his assistant find his beloved and the star patient, Michelle, in a plastic surgery mill in Mexico that she's run away to in order to get more severe surgery. Talk about thoroughly modern. The Confirmation.
Michelle.
Oh, that smell. Something's rotten. There's blood on the sheets. And pus.
Michelle?
It came from the bathroom.
Michelle!
I'm so cold.
Oh, she looks like a mummy.
She's burning up. Get me ice! What did those butchers do to you?
Please.
You should have stayed with me. I wanted to help you.
There's blood on the sheets. Here we go. Peter in Quincy, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Peter.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
First time caller.
Yeah.
A couple of my favorite. I remember growing up listening to Peter with E.G. Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a big fan of a company called Darker Projects and H.G. World. They do zombie podcasts, and they're a lot of fun to listen to. I'm a big fan and follow about a half a dozen different audio drama feeds. So, just want to put in my two cents in. Thank you very much.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate it. We've got a little bit from that. There are others bringing old radio plays back for iPods. The internet sensation series We're Alive audio drama tells the story of an Army Reserve soldier here leading a group of survivors against a world overrun by zombies. From the first season of the series, here's the show's hero fighting the zombies with a fellow survivor.
The Hummer's under attack. Damn it!
Angel, they're not going to make it in time.
Then you know what you have to do. Take that thing down.
I can't!
You can! Do it!
God.
Do it! Shoot it!
Ron Perlman, sounds like video game soundtrack to me.
How about that?
How about that? I guess that's everywhere these days. I mean, that sort of really big back sound, you've done a lot of that work. Maybe it's not so far from radio.
I feel as though, you know, it's limitless. The amounts of modes of communicating stories. You know, I mean, it starts with sitting around the fire, you know, back in the good old days, before, you know, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and you know, we're at that age now where there's so much new media that the demand for different kinds of storytelling is causing sometimes a return to things that were always there, you know, that just were lying fallow and unexplored for a great period of time. Certainly the video games borrow from forms that guys were doing in the 20s and 30s. It's just great to you know, these little things, these little snippets that you play with guys like Peter Lorre and Orson Welles and stuff, and how much of themselves they devoted to, you know, what might have been looked at back then as unconventional, but, you know, still storytelling nonetheless. Politically correct, maybe, maybe not. I mean, you know, it's just whatever sparks the imagination, whatever gets people entertained and wanting more.
Horror included.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, I was reading, I mean, back in the day, there were big debates in the 30s and 40s about just how horrible radio got and efforts to kind of rein it in because it would get sometimes too gruesome. I mean, Larry Glenn, I wonder if you can imagine. You know, you've got this on CD and available for download on podcast, but can you see this being popular enough to actually be broadcast again? Or are we too sort of splintered in our viewing and listening habits now to support actual on-the-air broadcast radio drama?
I think that we're learning. There's a big audience out there for it. I mean, as I said earlier, our reasons for doing this was just because certainly no one in our kind of circle of friends and collaborators were up to it. And as we've got deeper into it, you know, the more people were sharing it with the brand is growing. So absolutely, yeah. I mean, with Tales from Beyond the Pale, we're calling this season one, and we do hope to go on. And whatever shapes and forms it leads to, it's kind of, we're not sure yet, but I'd love to one day to have it on radio, have it broadcast, even live would be fabulous.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about doing it live, Tom, and of course that would be a whole other fun thing. And another thing is to do it live, but bringing the visual in, which is to say watching, you know, the sound effects get created. We obviously, a lot of the sound in this is created by a Foley artist, which is mm-hmm. the character that stands in a little booth and, you know, rustles the clothes and wears different shoes.
Right.
And, you know, it's so that would be fun to have a glimpse behind the scenes.
Beats on sirloin stick with a hammer. And
exactly. Yes, in the case of our shows. But I'll say one thing, Tom, and this is important for Kathy. We are hoping to send her a box, but the truth is these are sometimes a little racy and spicy. The language is all over the map. Because they're not, designed for audio for radio play. But
it's not Prairie Home Companion. Maybe we're going to hear in just a moment
from
Angus Scrimm. But let me get a call or two here. Sandra, Lisbon, New Hampshire. Sandra, you're on the air. Hi, Sandra.
You?
Hi.
It's such an honor to get online with Larry, Glenn, and especially Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
I really think that storytelling is such a, you know, wonderful art and. You know, every society needs wonderful storytellers. I just had an anecdote from my family growing up in the 70s. We lived outside Philadelphia, and I remember one night coming home from my grandmother's house. And I was just a kid, I mean, probably no more than like 9 or 10. And I don't know where my sister and I actually started really getting into the story that was playing on the radio. My dad always had these stories on. Sometimes we listened, sometimes we didn't pay much attention.
Yeah.
But anyway, we just had grown so intent, it was almost like we were sitting around this fire listening to the story, you know, the glow of the
in the car
the radio,
and the, yeah,
you know?
The dial, yeah.
So we pull into our driveway, the story's getting to its zenith, and it's a stark story, so, you know, there's not a lot of sound. It's quieter and quieter, and we're just getting closer. And all of a sudden, at its scariest moment, my father screamed this blood-curdling scream. And to this day, he can't tell the story without tears streaming down his face. All of us just fell out of our seats.
And it wasn't just to frighten you. He was really frightened. He was really frightened himself, Sandra.
Oh, no. He was totally watching all of us.
Oh, I got it. He gotcha. Right.
And my father has a cool streak, I have to say. So, but to this day, I mean, he will still tell stories, or the story, I should say, of us listening to this radio show and just falling out. So I'm really glad there's a revival of it going on, and I just think it's an opportunity to get other generations involved.
Sandra, that's great.
I love what I love that Sandra describes them leaning in, and there's that feeling, you know, you want to get closer and closer. You're just, you know, and that's some of the things you can do with volume and the pacing you mentioned earlier to create this intensity.
In the dashboard light right there. Angus Grimm joins us in just a moment. Let's hear just a little bit from one of the stories in Tales from Beyond the Pale that Angus is right in the center of. It's called The Grandfather. Perfectly happy family enjoying a pleasant afternoon ends up tragically when it's revealed that the grandfather's daughter, Minnie, has a deep darkness within. This tale stars Angus Scrimm in the title role. Here he is as the grandfather speaking to his deceased wife, who is embodied in a cat.
Dorothy, I need you. He alluded to certain things.
It's happening to her, too. Just like it happens to me. And our poor little boy.
We can't let it happen again, Dorothy. I can't let Minnie...
If you do nothing, Kevin will destroy us. Minnie will die the same way that I died.
I am eternally sorry.
Ask and you shall receive. I place no blame on you.
Even still, it was my seed that created her tainted brother.
And James's that created her tainted son.
So you think...
The female line. Something dark is within me. Just as it was in me. I was cleansed when I passed over. But now it is within her.
What should I do?
Take her down to the stream and hold her head below the rocks.
You can't be serious.
She will not die. She will only be purified.
And Kevin?
The same. But listen to me. This is very important. Do not let him come near me. He's beginning to sense me as his undoing. When he sat with me before, the thing inside was beginning to wake. They must be cleansed soon.
All right, my love. I will do as you ask me to.
I love you, my darling. Don't forget what is waiting for you when you have restored our family.
I will never forget that.
Angus Scrimmin, the grandfather from Tales from Beyond the Pale, veteran of many, many horror genre films, Phantasm, Witches Brew, I Sell the Dead, Satan Hates You. Angus Scrimmin joins us right now from Los Angeles. Mr. Scrimmin, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, greetings. I'm delighted to be with you. Is it just you and me, or are those brilliant talents, Fessenden and McQuaid and Perlman, still on?
Everybody's still in orbit with us here, Angus. And we're
Hello, Angus.
Everybody's here. It's so great to have you.
Oh, well, it's great to be here with such a distinguished gathering.
So what do you think, Angus? You have 85 venerable years under your belt. Is the podcast generation ready for audio horror?
Oh, I should think so. Good heavens, it's long in coming. Though I guess it has been going on sort of on the fringe. I know Larry listens to it all the time. I think Glenn does. In repeats of old broadcasts and some newer ones that few people know about. Radio was the saving grace during the hideous 1930s depression in the United States. I was a little boy growing up, and the radios and the movies really kept our spirits as up as you could be when there was no money around.
Yeah.
And, of course, radio was free. Movies cost a whole dime to get into, but radio was free, and they had brilliant, brilliant talents. The Barrymores were on, the Great American Theater Family, and Drew Barrymore's ancestors. And, Arch Obler was writing those terrific, scary half hours. Yeah. And Norman Corwin, God bless him, who just died just a few days ago, at the age of 102, I think.
102. Angus Scrimmin, do you think that younger actors... The very young Ron Perlman exempted here. We hear he's terrific. But do younger actors know how to do radio plays? Do they know how to do audio drama and invest it with all it needs these days?
Well, Ron Perlman's just a kid, but I think he's come along very nicely. Yes.
Thank you, Angus. You too.
Of course. I think anyone who listened to the Tales from Beyond the Pale dramas would be hooked immediately and start looking for radio dramas to listen to all over the place.
What do you bring to it that's different when it's going to be all voice, all audio, no visual, when you're playing one of these roles, Angus? Is there
what
a knack?
What do you bring to it as an actor, you mean?
Yeah, is there a knack to making it work just on the back of your voice?
Well, let's see. I bring my... What was it? Oh, Larry can tell me. What was the magazine that printed the wonderful review of the whole series just recently and said that Angus Scrimmin at 85 has a voice that is caramel covered gravel.
Oh yeah, I think
well,
that's,
I think that's what I bring to it.
Caramel covered gravel. That sounds like a pretty good start. Wow, that
it's fun, Tom. A lot of the younger actors, we have these nice little videos of behind the scenes, and a lot of the young actors speak about. It's sort of between theater, the whole notion of projecting, and film, where you're expected to be very naturalistic. So it, I think it really engaged people. And once you're in the room with that microphone, you just slightly alter your approach to a performance, and it becomes its own world.
I think also as a producer and director on it, that it really was a true line to the performance and to that director-actor relationship, when there was so little technology in the way of just working on that performance and that vocal delivery, whereas on film, you know, you're obviously waiting around a lot on lighting and camera and so on.
Music from War of the Worlds by Orson Welles coming up behind us right here. Stories ready to be in your ears in the new Tales from Beyond the Pale series. Ron Perlman, it's been an honor to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us in New York.
A real pleasure.
Angus Grimm in Los Angeles, you're terrific. And Caramel Covered Gravel, we love it. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid, producers of Tales from Beyond the Pale. Thanks so much. We're scared. We're spooked. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for being here. Happy Halloween. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.